The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
2017 is going to be a volatile economic year. We may see politicians throughout the world attempting to control central bank policies. Several renowned financial analysts have warned that political interference in central bank policies may mean our economic misses of inflation and growth targets. Gold is an international currency that can't be issued or controlled by governments. If you don't have the only hard currency that has outlasted every politician and every failed idea of governments for centuries, you need to speak to Goldline right now and learn how easy it is to add gold to your portfolio or IRA. Now is the time to diversify your financial portfolio by adding gold. Call 1-800-913-GOLD. Buying real gold is easy and fast at Goldline. And you're going to be happy that you finally made the call. 1-800-913-4653. Goldline also offers price protection against short-term market fluctuations on qualifying purchases. So buy with confidence. Read Goldline's important risk information and find out if buying gold is right for you. Call Goldline. 1-800-913-4653.
This is the sound of common sense defending freedom. The Morning Blaze.
Don't forget to download the Hear Me Out app and send us what you've learned today via the app, because we like hearing your pleasant voice as well.
We do.
And that's why you don't have to sit on the phone with us.
Exactly.
I mean, if you want, 888-933-93.
Oh, of course.
But it's just easier. We hear your voice. If you want to tweet, absolutely. It's at Doc Thompson Show. Please follow me. At Real Chris Cruz, at Cal79, and now The Blaze Keith. At The Blaze Keith is on the Twitter.
Well done, Keith.
Follow
well
him
done.
As well. Tweets coming in with the hashtag What I Learned Today. Stippling Duck says, at Cal79 has apparently never had a fried green tomato.
I've had missing fried a treat. Green tomato. I meant like a chip. You can't fry a tomato to be like a chip.
Like a chip. I will give you that. Well, apparently you can, you but can. It's not great. Do you like the fried green tomatoes?
I wasn't that
Wait, what? Wow. Wait, one more time. I'm going to give you this again.
I was in Charleston, South Carolina. We went to this really popular place, and they had their fried green tomatoes, and we had them. It wasn't bad, but I wasn't like, oh, my God, these are... I was like, oh, that's all right. Yeah,
I don't even know you anymore.
That was okay.
I never knew him, anyway.
That's really... All right, Slip Shift. Got to say that one slow.
Oh.
Tweeting, why would anyone want a healthy chip? That makes no sense. It's called plausible deniability. I know in my heart of hearts it's not healthy, but I get to argue it in front of my wife when she says, why are you shoveling in chips that are going to be bad for you?
The you know, the healthy chips that are baked? I like that.
Those are a fail.
Yeah, there's like all these chemicals on them, all the stuff, and the side effects are...
They're healthy.
Not healthy
They're
at
healthy.
All.
We fried, we baked them.
We baked them.
They're just a fail. They don't get it done. But that's like the argument where my wife can have an Oreo.
She'll no, go, can't.
Would you like an Oreo? And no. I'm like, no. And she'll take
box.
One, maybe two, and she'll eat them. She goes, that's all I need right now. And I go, are you out of your mind? She goes, you can have one. I go, no, I can't. I would rather not have one if I can't have an entire sleeve. And by that, I mean an entire aisle of Oreos.
It's like Girl Scout cookies.
What?
Double stuff,
he said.
All right, you got Bell tweeting, hashtag what I learned today. Even when Hollywood elites plumping, I think they meant pumping. Even when Hollywood elites pumping big dollars into hashtag GO6, there will still be a runoff. Georgia, don't let them buy your vote.
Oh, that was the biggest news overnight, actually.
This is incredible. So there was a runoff election to fill Georgia's 6th congressional district seat. This is the seat formerly held by Tom Price,
mm-hmm.
who joined the Trump administration.
Yes.
Tom Price, good guy, met him years ago, fairly solid. The district is definitely red. Hollywood and the Democrats thought they were going to flip this thing.
Oh, he's fascinating.
Which was an incredible fail. Instantly when I heard them talk about flipping it, I was like, they're not going to be able to flip this thing. What are you talking about? They pumped $8 million into it for a district that Tom normally only spent $10,000 on.
Yeah, the average price for that seat campaign race is only $10,000.
And they spent $8 million, got all the Hollywood people out there to speechify.
And the GOP was diluted with 8 candidates.
Versus one Democrat.
And the media was on your side. Because the media was like, oh, listen.
We got to flip it. Donald Trump standing against it, right?
We got to get it to John. We got to give it to John.
Ossoff.
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 Yep.
All right. So this guy gets 40, the Democrat, Ossoff, gets 48%.
Oh, hold on, Doc.
Yeah.
48.1%.
Let's give him his due. 41%. 48.1%. But didn't get to the threshold necessary to majority. So there's going to be a runoff between him and the top Republican vote getter. Handel, is that her name?
Karen Handel.
Karen Handel. But they're still claiming victory today.
Oh, yeah. Because
he got 48%.
Look at him on the red state. He got that 48.1%.
All of the Republicans together got the 51.9%, you nimrods. What do you... But they think simply because it's a red district that they got 48. That looks like a big number. There was one Democrat. And number two, most even solid red or blue districts do not win by 15 points. You win by 3 or 4. Good luck with that. Good luck. Ossoff is just going to spend them more money. God bless them. Hey, joining us now is Rachel Reed, author of Canine Korea, The Untold Story of America's War Dogs in the Korean War. Hey, Rachel, how are you?
I'm great, and I want y'all to know that I make great fried green tomatoes.
Okay, thank you.
Wow. That is legit.
Now,
Rachel,
what part of America do you hail in? Do you live in Chattanooga?
Chattanooga, right.
Oh, okay, that's fried green tomato country there.
Absolutely.
Karen, I would like to take your word for those fried green tomatoes, but I would have to sample them, you know.
Right, well, you're welcome anytime.
Okay, very good, very good. Karen, so first of all, what made you interested in the canine, the dogs during the Korean War and other service dogs that you'd write a book about it?
Well, I have a longstanding interest in military history. I had been taking some oral histories from veterans, and I had come across a story from a veteran who served in World War II, and he had served with a dog. And it got me really thinking about the role that dogs play in soldiers' lives, especially in wartime. And so I started researching, and that's when I came across a little blurb about these men in a small Colorado newspaper. I reached out to them, I found them, and I found their story to be absolutely incredible.
So how did it differ in the Korean War, the use of dogs? Because, I mean, I think dogs have been used in most wars, even on some limited scale, right?
Absolutely, yeah. The difference was that the Korean War has the name the Unforgotten or the Forgotten War for a reason, and that's because so little is known about it. And the same applies to the role of dogs in that war. Very little has been written about the history of dogs in the Korean War.
One of the things is talking about the Korean War. I think the reason it's forgotten is America wasn't ready to be at war again. We came off World War II. The country sacrificed greatly for four whatever years. We get through the end of the 1940s, roll into the 50s, and we're like, okay, all right, America's growing. Johnny came marching home. We're back to work. The country's doing great. People are buying homes and cars. They just didn't want to know about war, and we didn't have television to the point where you were seeing it in our homes every night like the Vietnam War. So everyone kind of looked the other way.
Absolutely. And that was the experience of these men when they returned home. There were no ticker tape parades. There was no fanfare. There was no real acknowledgement of what they had done. Worse still for them was that the military ended up abandoning these dogs that they had served with so proudly, so bravely. They were heartbroken about that, and the world just didn't seem to care.
So what jobs did the dogs do during the Korean War? Traditional duties that we would expect?
Well, these dogs in particular were sentry dogs. There had been a small, six dogs, I believe, a small group of scout dogs before them. But this unit brought close to 200 dogs with them, and they were on a sentry detail. So their job was to guard ammunition storage facilities and to guard the perimeter of the posts where the soldiers were.
What became of them?
What became of the dogs?
Yes.
Well, it's hard to say absolutely with certainty, but we do know that the Department of the Army abandoned the dogs as the men left.
So they just, did they just leave them there, you mean?
That's, yes, yeah.
That's incredible. I guess they abandoned equipment at times, and I guess they viewed them as equipment at that point. It just seems shocking now, knowing how much value soldiers that develop a bond with dogs, especially coming home from war with post-traumatic stress and different things, why you wouldn't just say, hey, you want to take the dog home with you? Why wouldn't you at least do that?
Absolutely. I mean, they spent the rest of their lives wondering why that happened and looking for answers. They found, as they started to have annual reunions about 50 years after their time in Korea, they found some comfort in each other, and that they understood one another, and they understood the heartache that they had been living with for all those years. But they've never gotten any really clear answers on what happened to the dogs. I talk about it a little bit in the book. I surmise some of the dogs may have gone to the Republic of Korea Army, but it's not likely that a large number of them went. So most of them were abandoned, as the program itself was abandoned shortly after.
I'm fascinated by the programs you talk about in your book. And by the way, we're talking about Rachel Reed, author of Canine Korea, The Untold Story of America's War Dogs in the Korean War. I'm fascinated by military history, especially the espionage and the programs that were established, where, especially during World War II, mm-hmm. where people saying, okay, we've got to win this war. We need to come up with anything. So any harebrained scheme, they're like, we'll work on this tech. We'll have a special program that'll do this. But, you know, okay, listen, put Pete in charge of that. Come up with an idea for this. So there were all of these programs. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of programs. Some of them ended up being utilized, some not, some successful. But even with the dogs during the World War II era, where there was a special program during World War II to say, how can we utilize dogs as part of the war effort?
Right, right. And that was created by civilians and dogs, the Dogs for Defense program. And so all the dogs during World War II were donated to the war effort. It was an incredibly successful program.
Was that via the American Kennel Club?
Yes, yes,
okay.
Absolutely. And some other power players,
okay.
in kind of the dog world, dog community. And, of course, the Roosevelts themselves were huge dog lovers, so, and were 100% behind that. So
you have all these people with expertise. In this case, you have people that are close with dogs, know about dogs, maybe associated with the American Kennel Club, that said, hey, I believe dogs could play an effort in winning the war. So they meet the right people, they set up the program, and that's just another one of those. I love how that stuff comes together. Even on the other side, Rachel, in World War II, Hitler threw everything at the wall. The guy was involved in the occult. I mean, he was, again, doing everything he could to get an advantage, an angle, you know, a leg up. I'm fascinated by that.
Yes, me too. Me too. And it was amazing the success that the dog program had during World War II. And so that's why they tried to carry it through to Korea. But again, as with many things during the Korean War, it was sort of half-hearted and not fully thought out.
Really interesting story. Rachel, thanks so much for sharing. I'm going to tweet out a link to your book and your information, and hopefully people pick up a copy and read it, okay?
Well, thank you so much. And y'all come on down for those fried green tomatoes.
Listen, I may be coming through, and I'm going to have to...
Don't invite... We'll come.
You'll Rachel, I'm working on a plan. We may be on the road. We'll be broadcasting from your kitchen, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, that sounds great.
All right, Rachel, thanks so much. Rachel Reed, author of Canine Korea, The Untold Story of America's War Dogs in the Korean War. This is The Morning Blaze.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-803-6951.
With Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
Now I get the tweets in, hashtag what I learned today.
You know, when you're going to go talk to the boss man, you might want to time it out so you're back. And
I'm back. I'm here.
Just because Chris got you.
You know, I'm right here. I was there.
I know, you're in there schmoozing. You know, we're not important over here. It's just a little radio show we do. But
I have high-level things going on, man.
I know. You know, just once in a while, you know.
I don't think you realize how important I am.
Little people over here.
I don't think you realize.
I realize how much you realize how important you are.
I'm going to give you that. I'm going to go ahead and give you that. And Sullivan's in on this now, too. I'm getting the business from Sullivan.
There's a lot of people in here making comments.
Did you see the city of Berkeley's, well, you know, all the riots in Berkeley and the whole whatever, and this just keeps, by the way, those aren't getting better.
Nope.
It's not like, do you remember the fireworks 1 month ago on the door, and people are like, wow, that's horrible. Let's make sure that doesn't happen.
Let's make sure that doesn't happen again.
And then last weekend, people are just duking it out in the street.
Yeah.
I mean, we're this close to Mad Max.
It's fight. Yeah, you're right. It's Thunderdome.
Right.
We are really close.
Welcome to Berkeley Thunderdome. Thunderdome. Tina Turner's going to be there with
two men enter,
hair.
One man leave.
Mel Gibson.
You have to pull out your master blaster.
Oh, that's funny. Anyway, so the city of Berkeley on their website has a checklist for protesters.
Like a preparedness if you're going to go protest?
Yeah, it almost seems like they're helping out. Like, I understand if you were the city of Berkeley to put up there like, hey, y'all, if you're going to protest, don't. Or if you're going to protest, don't be violent or you're going to be arrested. Stuff like that, right?
Stuff that actually makes sense, you mean? Logic?
Right. Because remember, a city is about laws and you're supposed to enforce your laws. Mm. So the city puts up an event planning checklist. It says the Berkeley Police and City of Berkeley want to facilitate the safe expression of constitutionally protected speech. We want to work in partnership with you to hold a safe and peaceful event. The following items are things that we recommend you do to ensure a safe event. Okay. That seems odd, but...
It's good to be prepared.
If they think they can help mitigate any violence with something like that, I reluctantly say okay. It seems odd, but all right.
All depends on what's on the list.
It says, go to the City of Berkeley website, download and complete forms, and then file them at the recreation department.
Okay.
So your protest is part of the recreation. Okay, all right. You got a form. Fill out that form.
Fill out the protest form.
You know, in order to express your constitutionally protected free speech.
Just register here.
Register here. Go to the website, download the form, register with the Department of...
So we know.
Right. So we get that. That seems odd. And then... it gives a list of things you should do. Contact the police department and provide the following. Number one, purpose of protest. Dates and times of event. Locations. Routes of march if planned. Estimated attendance. Organizing person or group. Number of organizers.
It's a full list there.
Remember, this is so you can protest constitutionally.
Right.
Right. Again, this is a lot of information they need to express. Again,
like, I don't suppose they're going to keep this on file or record or anything.
Right. This is like the Second Amendment. No, you can own a gun as long as you have a waiting period and fill out this form and pay this money and write all these.
Your name, Social Security, right, where you are.
Lots of limitations history to the free speech. Also, you should provide to the police department the number of organizers, how to identify the contact organizers, and how to identify them at the event, for example, with certain shirts, armbands, or hats. What will they be wearing?
So when we shoot you, we know what to look for.
Go for the leaders first. Exactly. Yes. Will they have mobile phones?
Okay. What is that relevant?
And then also at the bottom, it says Do you want a symbolic arrest? If so, where and when?
Seriously? A symbolic arrest?
Yes, that you can schedule your symbolic arrest as you protest.
No
I mean,
way.
I'd like the symbolic arrest when I knock over that liquor store on 7th.
Can you get the shot from this angle? And I want you to get my face screaming and crying. So
you don't understand. That was supposed to be a symbolic arrest. You're screaming at the judge, right?
Nobody said anything about macing me in the face during my symbolic arrest.
Doesn't this protest, the planning like this seem all very sterile and nice? Aren't protests like you're passionate and willing to take what comes?
Usually.
I mean, this is like, where should we meet you with the fresh s'mores during your protest? How many people will be needing hugs and verbal affirmations? When and where will you want the back rubs to be administered?
Please list the amount of lattes needed.
How many pairs of fuzzy slippers will be needed? Approximate time we'll need to deploy the life-saving words of encouragement. You're kind of missing the point here.
The scheduled group hug.
This is how sensitive our new generation is. Where should we set up the bunny rabbit support? Animal petting stations? How many rehydrating stations will you require? Will the crying signify the end of the event or the beginning? When will the crowd get exhausted and call for the Velvet Line golf carts? Who will be leading the mindless chants of acceptance during the protest? How will those in need of free stuff be identified? Would you like a symbolic arraignment, trial, and punishment?
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
Lots of tweets coming in. Lots of them. Hashtag what I learned today. We got Stippling Duck. Everyone should begin sharing all of their illness and ache stories at Doc Thompson Show. He loves it. Hashtag relief factor.
You might open up a can of worms there.
Well, no, you know what it is, too? At some point in your life, you know, you'd always, most of us would think about our grandparents or aunts and uncles talking about their aches and pains. Mm-hmm. My relatives always. We'd visit them in West Virginia. And my dad would sit down, his mom and his brothers and sisters would be there, and he'd be like, so how are you doing? Well, not too good.
Go down the list.
And everyone would go back and forth. And as a kid, I was like, you idiots, what are you doing, right? That's all you have to talk about? About 8 years ago, I'm at my niece's wedding, and I hadn't seen my my one sister and my brother in a couple months. I was living in a different part of the country. So we sit down, we're eating a little dinner there, and I said to my sister, how are you doing? She goes, not too good.
Uh-oh.
And I go, what's going on? She goes, well, I had this thing in my back. It wasn't, and I was like, wow, that's horrible. She goes, yeah, I went to the doctor and whatever. And I said, yeah, because I had, my sciatic was, she goes,
flaring up?
Yeah, my brother goes, you know, I was at the doctor. I had to get my eyes checked out because whatever. And I was like, holy.
You're your parents.
We're here.
We're here.
We're the old aunts and uncles sitting around talking about our aches and pains. And you just get to a point, you're there. And
was
I was like.
Was this the sister with one eye?
No, that's not the Cyclops. That's another sister. Okay. By the way, she has some eye troubles too.
I know. That's what I was like. Is this because
not
is
eyes trouble?
Is she overlooked the eye problem? Then I'm like, whoa.
See what you did there? Overlooked it because overlooking with the eye trouble. No, that's a sister that's a nurse.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So.
So she's around pain all day.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
Sick people. Ugh.
Yeah. She's a nurse or whatever.
We have one from Hear Me Out.
Yeah, and it's okay that I call her the Cyclops. That's since I was a kid.
Oh yeah. Here we go.
Oh, this is what I learned today.
You may have heard the word on the street that the North Koreans have a handle on obesity. Well, I'm here to tell you today that that is absolutely true, and you too can be part of the no-co diet today. You can be Slim Jong-un in no time. Results not typical. 97% of new participants die within the first 6 months.
I love that he included a disclaimer.
Disclaimer.
That is good. That is well done. Well
nice
done,
announcer
Nathaniel.
Voice there.
Yes,
as well. Nicely done.
That's a nice radio
face. I like this tweet from Not Steve Cannon.
Hang on a second. So that was well written, well performed. Did you notice that he had a little bit of the George Takei
yes,
going?
Yes, he did.
He almost went to the, oh my. He almost had that. Well nicely done.
Well done.
Not Steve Cannon tweeted what I learned today. I just lost this place. Oh, here we go. I'd like to schedule my arrest for 2:45. I have a mani-pedi at 1:45.
Wonder who he's talking about there.
Who is he talking about?
I don't know.
Oh, he's talking about Sarah. She likes mani-pedis.
He said real Chris Cruz.
So. Oh.
Yeah. The Steve 42 Berkeley's hashtag snowflake protest checklist. Socialist manifesto. Check. Baseball bat. Check. Love Trump's hate sign. Check. So you got the socialist manifesto. Baseball bat.
Yeah.
Love Trump's hate sign.
Yep.
Seems a little hypocritical.
I got some sad news for you, Doc.
What happened?
Richard Simmons has been hospitalized in California.
Okay, so there is something going on with him.
Yeah.
What's he been hospitalized for?
They don't know.
I thought it was severe indigestion.
They said undisclosed location in California. That's where he is.
Okay, something's going on with Dick Simmons here.
Uh-huh.
Because he was supposedly MIA, and then one of his assistants, longtime friend, compadre, manager, whatever.
Michael Catalano.
Said, no, he's fine. I'm not going to show him to you. He's just been in seclusion. It's like a weekend at Bernie's or something. I think
wasn't
the guy's
he being
just
held against his own will or something?
Either that or the guy's cashing the Social Security checks and he's been dead. I mean, something nefarious is going on, in my opinion.
So, Richard Simmons,
now he's been hospitalized.
He's been hospitalized.
You know what this
location.
Is?
What is
this
it?
Is the movie Dave.
Is it?
There's going to be a duplicate Richard Simmons?
No. I think they were leading people to believe that he was alive. Kind of a weekend. No,
wasn't.
He's fine. Then when people all got on the trail, this guy's going, son of a gun. I can only keep this up so much longer. I need to work into, slowly, a story of him being dead.
So he gets hospitalized, and all of a sudden,
now he's dead.
Right.
In a couple days, he's going to be dead?
You got to ease into it. You can't just say, no, he's fine, and then a month later go, he's dead. You got to come up with a backstory. You got to go, he's hospitalized, no one knows why.
I didn't want him to go there. We lost Aaron Hernandez today.
Killed himself.
Richard Simmons might be dead, so who's the third one?
Well, I think I don't know. It's not a third one. There's no thirds with this. What are you talking about?
Didn't someone else just die recently?
I know.
I hate this. I hate this so much. I hate you guys for even bringing that up. When does the third start? When does
it starts now. It starts right now. We don't know where Richard Simmons is. Undisclosed location. The third one is after right now. What if we find out
that Dick Simmons is alive?
Then it stops. Then there's no third. Then
it would be the first one.
Aaron
or is he the last of another one?
No, he's the first one. No matter what, he's the first one.
Okay. See, this is all very sketchy. Very sketchy.
We checked on Betty White?
No, we haven't.
Oh, gosh.
Trust me, you'd hear about it if Betty White died.
She's going to be... I love when people get the fake stories. Betty White's dead. Betty White's dead. No, she's not. She's fine. Somebody tweeted out the other day. Breaking news, Betty White is fine. Betty White is...
They already saw another sunshine in California, 89 years old, blah, blah, blah.
Rants out loud, hashtag what I learned today. I told my wife I had a symbolic arrest when Amber magically showed up at our bachelor party in a cop gear.
Wait, which Amber?
Not that Amber.
Okay.
Steve Sexton tweeting at Doc Thompson Show. And based on the TV ads here, it looks like Karen Handel only spent about $150 to come in second.
Yes, she did. She literally spent pennies.
Do they mean the quality or the content or the quality or quantity of ads?
Quantity.
Or is it both?
Both. Yeah, it's like
he wasn't ripping on the quality. He's just like she didn't spend any.
No. You got Donna also learning after the PP story or the Pam Pam story. Might be better if we don't talk about fries.
After the what story?
After the
Oh, that's right.
We can't talk about fries.
We talked
anymore.
About chips. We didn't talk about fries.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know what the chips acronym is.
She's making sure she's putting it on notice, basically.
Slip Shift tweeting. That's a second one today. Nice job. Of what I learned today, K-9 Korea. I thought it was a Korean cookbook. Hey. Stuff like that right there. A tweet like that right there is pretty accurate.
That's why
and
we
funny.
Can't have nice things.
No, it's pretty funny. It's pretty accurate there. So, you know, when I went to Korea... years ago when I met my wife's family, she tells me, she goes, you know, you meet my uncles, there could be trouble.
Trouble like how? What kind
well,
of
that's
trouble?
What I'm saying. What the hell does that mean? She goes, you know, they're really protective. Wait. They live out by the DMZ. This is hours out in the middle of nowhere from any civilization. They have a compound out there.
I wouldn't worry so much, though.
And she's like, you know, they're very protective of me. Okay. So you're going to bring the white boy out to the middle of nowhere.
You're but not think about it. You're like a giant. I mean, most Koreans are like, what, 5 feet?
Four. Right. I'm like,
so you can take them.
I'm like Godzilla walking through their compound.
Exactly.
They're like, Mothra. Send out Mothra. So I'm like, what does that mean? She goes, no, I'm just saying, you know, they may be kind of rough on your, you know, question. You know, okay, I can deal with that. She goes, they may try to give you the business a little bit too. I go, what do you mean? You know, they may try to get you to eat some funky things.
So that's how they give you the business? Eat some funky things?
Well, you know, once it becomes good-hearted, you kind of, it's like, you know, joining a fraternity. You kind of,
right,
give
the hazing.
Guy. Hey, a little hazing, right. And I go, like, what are you talking about? She goes, I don't know. And like, maybe live octopus or something? I was like, what? She goes, you know, they eat some funky stuff. This is a conversation we had. I go, okay. She goes, I don't think they will. I'm just saying, you know.
Just maybe.
So
just prepare yourself.
I get there and everything was fine. I mean, we joked around with that, nothing that. But I'm like, was she messing with me or did they take it easy on me? And then I said to her, I go, they're going to be dog? No, my family doesn't eat dog. Although on their compound, they have a whole kennel, dozens and dozens of dogs.
They have a compound?
It's a pretty big spread of property out there. And you're up near the DMZ. They claim the dogs are, you know, security. I'm like, yeah, that many dogs.
How many are we talking?
I don't know, like 15, 20.
Oh, wow. That is a lot of dogs.
That is a kennel.
I mean, it's nice. They have a full kennel there. It's beautiful.
How many acres would you say they have?
Nah, I don't know, 20.
Okay, so that makes
pretty
sense.
Pretty big spread. But I thought when I was leaving, I should have counted the dogs when I got there.
When you got there and when you left.
Right.
To make sure that they didn't feed you.
One of them
the
wasn't
dogs.
On the dinner menu.
Right, because they weren't eating the chicken. I know that. Because they had chickens. But there's this rooster. It's early in the morning, and you know, sun's coming up or whatever. And I hear,
that rooster's like a dying about rooster. To die.
Yeah, he's like 112. And I get up and I get on my wife. I go, what was she goes the rooster? I said, yeah. She goes, I don't know. It's an old rooster.
It's time to
you know, get rid of the rooster, right?
Eat it. Put it in a nice soup.
So yeah.
Oh, you guys had it?
Have I ever had
no,
it?
No, they didn't, I'm saying.
Oh, they didn't have it? Oh.
But we had
have
some you? Meat. They're not killing the chicken.
Have you ever eaten rooster?
You mean chicken?
There's so many jokes in there. Cal, don't set me a shave and a haircut. You ever have rooster?
I'm just curious if rooster tastes different from a chicken. Like, because they're thinner.
No,
I don't
Cal.
Think they're as meaty.
It's the same as a chicken.
Is it?
I had
who
rooster.
Are you, Frank Costanza?
What are they?
Okay. What I want to know, who's getting together with the rooster?
I'm just curious,
because
roosters are always
chicken,
much skinnier, you know?
Sex with the rooster?
I'm wondering if there's actual, like, a bit more meatiness or a different taste.
You know, it's just a male chicken. I don't know.
I know, but I feel like it would taste different.
There's so many jokes in there,
oh
I just can't
God.
Say.
Is this a dollar thing, too? Is
a
this
dollar
a whole,
thing? What
this
dollar?
Is your whole dollar scheme, too? Like, are you really trying to...
Perhaps we move on before I use a euphemism for rooster that gets me in trouble. Relief Factor is an all-natural anti-inflammatory. It's helping thousands of Blaze audience members and a whole bunch of people here around the staff, including me. A couple months ago, I started running again. The sciatic started acting up. The problem this time is, after weeks and weeks of stretching it and other painkillers, it wasn't going away like it had in the past. So Brad says to me, let's try the Relief Factor. And I'm like, yeah, okay, crazy man, sure. But I reluctantly do it because I was desperate. Took 4 to 5 days. I was skeptical. Pain started going away. Relief Factor targets the inflammation, which is the problem for most pain. Most pain is based on inflammation in the body. Narcotics usually just mask it. Relief Factor targets and eliminates the inflammation, thereby eliminating the pain. It works. Relief Factor is helping and everybody around the office as well. And now you can try it. You get a quick start pack for just $19.95. Now that's enough for about 3 weeks. Normally, new users see results 7 to 10 days. You got to be on it 7 to 10 days. Hang in there, and you're going to see the results if you have chronic pain. 3 weeks for just $19.95. Try it today. If you've suffered with pain and you know that frustration where you just, a couple of days in, you're just kind of clawing your face off going.
Like how you were doing a couple weeks ago.
Exactly. Just can't get around. I got stuff to do. Try Relief Factor. Trust me, you'll love it. Call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384 or relieffactor.com. That's relieffactor.com. 800 500-8384.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
On the Blaze Radio Network!
Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
All righty, that is it, ladies and gentlemen, the end of the Morning Blaze. But before we go, as always, let's find out what we learned today. We learned that United Airlines now flies nonstop to hospitals.
Yes, they do.
Directly.
They do. We learned that the new North Korean diet is very effective in fighting obesity.
Oh, I'm so proud of them.
Oh, yeah.
Such a good plan to lose weight.
Yeah.
We learned Donald Trump hates birds and brown people.
Oh, yes, he does. Hateful, hateful man.
We learned a symbolic arrest when protesting means you're only symbolically protesting. And finally, we learned Kevin Klein will likely play Richard Simmons in the Lifetime original movie. Cal, spinning the dials, radio style in Dallas, Texas. Morning, what, if anything, did you learn today?
I learned if James Crackle gets elected into the parliament and the British people will be introduced to the North Korean diet. Lots
AKA
of air.
No-cool diet.
Plenty of air. And I learned that...
you know, they've already been introduced to the North Korean dental plan, so...
Oh, hey-o!
I'll tell you that one.
Hey-o. Good morning.
That's a bad British teeth joke.
I learned Chicken McNuggets are the fast food of choice for homicidal maniacs. And
For some.
And next time I see a protester getting maced in the face or arrested, I'm going to wonder, was that scheduled?
Was that symbolic?
Is that real?
Possibly, maybe not. Chris Cruz, at Real Chris Cruz on Twitter. What, if anything, did the listeners learn today?
Well, we got Zach learning, need to get into shape. Let me try a 10-year in North Korea hard labor spa and resort.
That'll get you in shape.
You're going to get in shape.
Oh, yes, you will.
That shape is hunched over with rickets, but you will be in some sort of shape.
You will be. Just a mom learning, the air for food diet only works in China, Doc. Not in North Korea. Air so thick and
that
chewy.
That is, you can slice off a big hunk and jump, yum, 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 dive right into it in China.
The Steve42 also learning.
Yeah.
North Korea diet plan. You can eat all the dirt and stick and rocks that you want.
All of it. Just keep eating. You're good to go.
Shadow.
Hell of a plan.
Shadow also learning. Jeffy is now a campaign issue across the pond.
He is, right. He's the poster child. Let's not be like them. Let's be like this fat guy in North Korea.
Libertarian, also learning, F for feminist, R for really, I for insult, E for everyone, S for smarts.
Fries. That's all you need to remember.
That's
fries.
All
That's
you
how
need
you
to
know
remember.
Consent. Ah, speaking of remember, didn't get to those new numbers on procrastination. But no, guys. Lead with my mistakes. That's on me today. But I'll do them tomorrow. What else do we have coming up tomorrow?
Our local food feature, Maple and Motor, coming in with burgers and fries. Maybe beer.
And I'm not here tomorrow.
Oh, sorry about that.
That's a
shame.
Sorry about that.
Right.
Total accident.
What does Glenn have coming up on his program?
Top of hour 3, David Green, founder of Hobby Lobby, comes in to talk about his new book.
Nice deal. What's Glenn wearing today?
A hashtag no-co diet t-shirt. He's going all the way.
Oh, no-co.
He's
doing
going the no-co
all
diet?
The way.
Wow,
well
that's
done,
interesting.
Glenn.
Way to do. That's quite a commitment.
Yep.
So is he chained down? Remember, the Morning Blaze is today Chris Cruz production. Six Emperor Tyrannus. Good night, Steve Cannon.
Wherever you are.
Anya, now you go home.
He's going to look good.
I think it'll work for him.
Slim down. So far, he's been on the Kim Jong-un diet, but this is a different one.
The no-go diet is going to work on him. I'm proud.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson. Part of Generation Blaze. On the Blaze Radio Network.